Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
On the first, I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Sing it out. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Sing it out, sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And he loved the air, I knew him, and all my
victory this morning. Say amen. Amen. Well, that sounded good. That was really good. Y'all sound like y'all ready for church this morning. Amen. Amen.
Brother. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I sent out a remind last night, I believe it was, telling you I was excited about what God was going to do for us today. Every once in a while, I get excited. And I just want to share it with you. That's why I put it on the remind so we'll know, oh, pastor's excited. So, yeah. Oh, pretty, yay. Yeah. I tell you, we are excited to have our guest with us today. Some of you that have returned with us multiple times. And then, of course, today I'm seeing we have J.W. and Ann Teat. Is that correct? All right. Praise the Lord. And you're here all the way from Kansas. Kansas, and my understanding is Miss Ann is Brother Dan's twin sister, right? Now, I did not know you had a twin sister, but congratulations. I'm glad to, you have one. I'm glad to finally meet her. Let's give them a hand for being here at church this morning. And a couple other quick things I want to take note of. Now, if you haven't turned in your VIP passes yet, you need to do so. Put them in the offering plate. I see some are there now. You have through tonight. And then after that, the nominating committee will take control. And so if you're interested in serving in particular areas, you need to get your VIP pass. Well, preacher, y'all going to come running and begging and pleading? No, we're not. We're going to look at the VIP passes, and we're going to see who's willing to do what, and we are going to move forward with the ministry of the Lord. No time to drag a noodle or push a rope. It's time to get on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also, let's not forget Brother Ricky Slayton. His brother died tragically a couple nights ago, and the funeral will be here at Hillcrest Higgins at 2 o'clock. And then also tonight we have two precious souls that are supposed to be baptized. So let's pray for those two that they won't wiggle so I don't drop them. Amen. And then also I want to thank every one of you that made an effort to help us with homecoming. Some of you came almost every day. There was, well, every day before homecoming. Over in the gymnasium, there were multiple people in and out getting things ready. And then, of course, that Saturday, we had a wonderful turnout for the work day to finish off everything. And I want to say, if you hadn't have been here all week, we literally would have been here till midnight Saturday night getting it all done. So I just want to thank you so much. And if you don't mind, church, let's give those a hand that did help. And then, also, we want to read a card. And this, these flowers have been placed here in memory of Brother Herbert and Reba Flournoy and Will Johnson. And so, I need to read the card. Here it says, in memory of Herbert and Reba Flournoy and Will Johnson, we miss you so very much. We thank God for you, your memories of you, and your love. Donald and Sandra Johnson, Ben, Leanne, and Sky Stokes, Levi and Toon, Flournoy, Sandy and Meissen Vondesi, is that right? Okay, well, Vondesi, okay. Timmy and Sydney Flournoy, Randy, Lynn, and Cody Flournoy. That's who placed these beautiful flowers for us this morning, and so we want to thank the family for that very much so. Then also, I have something here in my pocket, and I don't usually do this because, you know, tithe and missions, it's a personal thing, but I want to tell you, Miss Reba Strickland, as you know, went home to be with the Lord last Sunday night, I guess around 8:30-ish. And this lady that was sick, 94 years old, and on her deathbed, one of her main concerns was that she got her tithe and her missions into the offering plate. On her deathbed, she was saying, be sure you get my tithes and my offering into the offering. Isn't that something? And I thank God for Miss Reba, and I know she's not here, but could we give her a hand, please? Such a beautiful, beautiful lady, and such an example to us all. I'm going to ask the men, if you would come at this time, for the tithes and the offerings. I'm looking forward to worshiping the Lord today. Brother Alan Weaver, would you ask the Lord to please bless the offering?
Sing the chorus of it.
It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for us. He'll pardon you. It is no secret.
Sing again.
What God can do.
That's good stuff, baby.
It is no secret. What God can do. What He's done for.
He'll do something for you. Isn't it good?
Yeah.
I'm looking across the congregation and I'm seeing a bunch of ex-drunks and drug addicts and immorality that's gone awry. And today, saved, born again, pardoned. It's no secret what He's done for you. Many of you have stood up and given your testimony about God's hand in your life. I looked out there this morning, I saw a couple that's been down the road of sin and headache and a heartache. And just yesterday, they stood right here and made things right with God and said their I do's to each other. Ain't that wonderful? I don't want to embarrass them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's no secret what God can do. Pick up the lowest sinner. No matter where you are, how much or how little money you got in the bank, whether you live under a bridge or in a mansion, God can do something. If you're lost here this morning, He wants to do something for you. All you got to do is say, I do. And He will. He'll do something for you. Amen.
Before we say anything else, you mentioned something about being the drunk and you know, I wasn't that. I wasn't that. I was a small child, and I didn't have the time to have a lot of sin in my life, but the ground's level there. I needed Him just like the other, just like everybody else did. So,
hey, isn't it good you don't have to be a drunk to get saved?
There is no secret what God can do, what He's done for us, He'll do for you. With hearts wide open,
Ken, we're throwing a wrench in this thing. God saves those sinners. Aren't you glad that God saves those sinners? Amen. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, somebody was singing that song, the one that the Gaithers did and Cathedrals did about saving old sinners. He said, I'm not an old sinner. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. He said, I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. We said, well, brother, and what are you? If you saved, you're a sinner saved by grace. I'm glad that I am a sinner. But I'm saved by grace, aren't you? Amen. Sing this song, Brother John.
Sing it, brother. A clock on the street, the rich in the palaces, the poor and unlearned, woo! And men of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary.
we set them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming those sinners is that he would save an old sinner.
That's good stuff right there. I like it. Praise the Lord. Let those little feet pitter-patter. Praise the Lord. I like it. We can wait, can't we, so they can get to junior church? It's not going to hurt anything for us to wait. I think we need to be more patient anyhow. You know, folks, last night I struggled with what to preach this morning. I told my wife when she went to bed, I said, I got nothing. I left my study and I went downstairs and looked at the clock and it was 2:22 a.m. And I said, Lord, I got nothing. I went back up to my study and I opened up the Word of God and the simple message of His wonderful salvation. It was laid in my lap.
I felt then that I knew. And it was almost 3 a.m. in the morning. And I knew what God wanted me to preach. And it was all verified during the song service. Seeing a lost little girl ask Jesus to come into her heart and save her. Amen. So I can't help but say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, I'll never get over the fact that we can be lost and undone, fall under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and drop on our knees and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. Come into my heart and make me a new creature in Christ. I can't get over the fact that 1 second before we accept the Lord, we die and go to hell. And then 1 second after we accept the Lord, we died, we go to heaven. Can't get over that. I can't get over the fact that God did so love the world. And then verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. And sports fans, that's what it's all about this morning. Through him we might be saved. I know that yesterday was a big day for the football. I watched a little bit of it. I watched Clemson put the whipping on Sanford. And I watched Georgia put the whipping on somebody. And enjoyed watching that. And I don't know if Georgia Tech played or not, brother. I'm sorry. But I want to tell you something right now. That was good stuff, a lot of exciting plays. But it doesn't touch seeing a little person or any person bow their little knee at the altar and ask Jesus to come into their heart. Amen. Why? How? Well, because God so loved the world. We see that he loved not just you and not me, or not just me but not you, but he so loved the world. Every person that was ever born from the beginning of time to the one that we born to the end of time, each and every soul he loved. See this great love for this great company of people that need to be saved. And you and I were in that company. Not the things of this world. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, it's not talking about the things of this world, but yet it's talking about the people, the lost souls of this world. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if all had sinned or have sinned, then all need salvation. And thank God that God loved the great company of the world. Then we see his great love for the great company when he says, for God so loved. I tell you, that word so implies a deep-rooted love that is hard to grasp. It's hard. Oh, have you ever loved somebody? But my goodness, to so love somebody. speaks of a deeper meaning in which we may not be able to grasp, but God grasped the soul love. A deep love, a great love for a great company. We see His great unmerited love. I looked at the word unmerited and I found out some things about this word. This word speaks of God's great love, unmerited does, but to define this, it's the love of God is a baseless love. Not that He came without base or purpose, but we're the baseless part. We're the undeserving part. The unmerited love of God, the basis love, the groundless love. We have no ground to receive or be recipients of His love. The unfounded love. There's no foundation for this love outside of His grace and mercy. There's no foundation found in us. No purpose that this love should be bestowed upon us outside of a love that we can't understand, which is God's love. That soul love. That unwarranted love. That unprovoked love. Remember when that wife that you married, maybe you were dating, and she reached over and kissed you right on the mouth. That's called provoked love. Well, by the way, we're not dealing with provoked love. We're dealing with unprovoked love. We had nothing to bring to the table. We had nothing to offer. But He loved us. He so loved us. He greatly loved us with unmerited love. I want to tell you this unmerited love, it means bottomless love. Amen. Bottomless love. I was watching. They found the USS Indianapolis in the month of August. And I was watching live as they went down and was looking at this battleship that was sunk by a Japanese submarine during World War II. And they had to go down over 18,000 feet into the Pacific Ocean to get pictures of this battleship. 18,000. Folks, that's over 3 miles deep. Human beings can't swim that deep. They had to have special robots that could withstand that type of pressure to go down and to take pictures of this wreckage. That's a long way down. Praise be to God. 18,000 feet of God's love is just getting started. Because it's unmerited. It's a bottomless love that cannot be measured outside of salvation. This unmerited, indefensible, undefensible, the inessential, the reasonless. There's just no good reason for this love. We're worthless. We're nothing. We're nobody. We're sinners that deserve hell. This love goes beyond all human reasoning outside, once again, of the mercy and grace of God. This unmerited love means uncalled for. God's love is just plain uncalled for. But yet, He does. And He doesn't just love, but He so loves. And lastly, this word, unmerited, means unsupportable love. It can't be supported by reasoning or logic. It's all, once again, due to the mercy and the graciousness of God. We see that He so loved us with an unmerited, a baseless, a groundless, a unfounded, an unprovoked, an unwarranted, a bottomless, an indefensible, an inessential, a reasonless, uncalled for, unsupportable love. But yet he loves us. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. And this propitiation signifies the removal of God's wrath by offering a gift, which was his only begotten son. Back in John 3:16, we see God's great love gift that he gave his only begotten son, his only heir to his kingdom. And yet he gave him for you and for me because of this great love. We see his great first love in 1 John 4:19. Listen what it says. We love him. Do we not love him today? But you know why we love him according to 1 John 4:19? Because he first loved us. That's right. There's no love for Christ if he had never loved us. He has loved the world. And many even today hate his guts. Though even those that say we don't believe he exists, they hate him. I don't understand how you hate somebody that doesn't exist. Well, the answer is, ladies and gentlemen, that deep within the heart and the soul of every man, woman, boy, and girl, there's a belief that Jesus Christ is God. It's there. It was planted from your birth or before. As Brother Stephen preached a few Sunday nights ago, it's in our DNA. It's built slap into us. And Jesus loved us enough to do that for us. So his first love, his great love, was that he loved us first. We see in John 3:16 also the great invitation where it says that whosoever believeth, whosoever, hey, like Miss Vicky said just a few minutes ago, I wasn't a drunk or a drug addict, but the field is level. The ground is level at the cross. So he loves the children and he loves the adults. I remember years ago, we had a puppet ministry in South Carolina, and on a Sunday night, we went to a church in another county, another town, about 45, 50 minutes from our church, and we did this puppet program, and it was time for the invitation. I'll never forget, the very back of the church was a woman with a big old oxygen tank on wheels and hoses hooked up to her face. And we gave the invitation, and that little lady stepped out, dragging that little oxygen tank behind her. She got not quite past the pews, and she couldn't wait any longer. She, the oxygen tank, went down to the ground, and she fell on her old knees and said, Jesus, save me. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm so glad that he saves the children. I'm so glad he saves the adults that he doesn't just stop. He goes right to the elderly. How many times in the nursing homes, because people from Westside Baptist Church go over there on Tuesday, have one of those folks bowed their little heads and asked Jesus to save them. In Ainsley Park, Dad has led dozens to the Lord over the last 2 years. Some of them were days before dying. One particular lady was 100 years old, and on her birthday, Dad led her to the Lord. Aren't you glad for the great invitation for whosoever for whosoever, you see. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's our God. He so loved us with a great love. Then we see his great deliverance. For we see in John 3:16, should not perish, that whosoever believeth should not perish. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why we get excited when we sing. That's why we raise our hands and shout. That's why I might grab a microphone and run down the aisle. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we have a great deliverance with Jesus through his love. We see he gives. He gives a great possession. You hear what it says now? Four words. But have everlasting life. Can you wrap your little minds around that? The reason I say little is because compared to God, that's exactly what we have. Just a microscopic mind. But we can wrap it around this thing, this great deliverance. We can wrap it around this great possession. And it's great because we can never be separated from our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Blessed be his name. Then we find this great possession because it pays a penalty. Over in Hebrews 2, it says in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great the salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? That's our Lord. He was sent because his Father looked down amongst us and loved us in spite of us. Sent his precious Son, that we one day would know his Son as Savior and Lord. What about you? Do you know the Lord this morning? Say, preacher, I've been a church member, and I've done this. I've sung in the choir. I've taught. I don't care. I believe I've shared this with you. I'm going to share it with you again. One day I received a phone call to go to St. Francis Hospital in Greenville, South Carolina. I pushed a button in the elevator, went up to the floor, and there was a lady, elderly lady. She was having stomach problems. And that morning, on a Monday, the doctors came in and said, ma'am, lady never had any health problems in her life. Said, ma'am, you have stomach cancer and you have roughly 3 months to live. She had her daughter call me. I went to St. Francis Hospital, as I told you. I spoke with her for a few minutes, and we talked about the church, this, that, and the other. Talked about the Lord. I said, ma'am, I know you're a church member. You've been singing in the choir at Trinity Baptist Church for 40 years. 40 years. You've taught Sunday school. You've helped in Vacation Bible School for decades. You're a faithful church member. I'm going to ask you something, not to offend, but I am bound by duty to ask you this question. I said, sister, if you die today, do you know if you go to heaven or hell? That woman looked at me, and she burst out in tears. And she said, I'm not saved. God had to put her into a corner where she had to realize that she really did not know the Lord that she had taught about, demonstrated in her life, and sung about in the choir. Ladies and gentlemen, I said, put your hand in my hand. I said, you know what to say, and you know what to pray. Do you mean business with God? And she said, yes. And she began to pray, and heaven came down in that hospital room, and she was gloriously saved. That was Monday. They gave her 3 months to live, Brother Bill. Saturday morning in the hospital, she died. Slipped out into eternity. If she hadn't gotten things right, we would have stood in the church over that box and told everybody what a good woman she was and what a profession she had made 40-something years ago, how she sang in the choir, how she taught Sunday school, how she helped in VBS. And oh, we would have felt so good about this lady. And all the time, she'd have been in hell. Should that not scary? Should that not shake us? Should that not cause us to search our hearts and to make sure that we haven't been playing with God instead of serving Him? I'm asking you. I'm asking you, lost person. I'm asking you, non-church member. I'm asking you, church member, I'm asking you that have been faithful for years, are you sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. I want us to pray, please, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, I have followed your will. I have preached what you told me to preach. And when I stand before you, O Lord, I will know that on this day that I did right in your eyes from this holy desk. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, whether there be one here that is visiting or one here that know us and we know them. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there is one person in this room that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I'm asking you, Father, to prick their hearts even where they are today and have them come to the altar that we can show them how they can one day serve you personally in heaven, oh God. I ask, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, for the salvation of that person or those people that do not truly know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm still going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're born again this morning, why don't you pray? Why don't you ask the Lord to send some poor lost soul to this altar that they can be saved today? But maybe you're one that I was speaking about. Maybe you're not really sure that if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven. Well, let me give you an opportunity to nail it down this morning at Westside Baptist Church. Come to know the Lord, not just what you know of Him intellectually, but receive Him into your heart. Have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you do so as we sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to God, I come.